There are 340,000 blind people in the United States alone. Many of them have become useful members of society in spite of their tremendous handicap. I'll be back in a moment to talk about thousands of sightless who will soon see again. Hello, this is Joe Cruz of the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. In our last broadcast, we introduced the study of the beautiful home of the saved, heaven. And friends, I've never found anybody who didn't want to go to heaven someday. We discovered some tremendous facts about this place of the redeemed. But one of the great questions that we were not able to answer in our last broadcast concerned recognizing each other in heaven. People say, will we know one another there? Can we recognize each other when we get to that great glory land of God? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, we read these words. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. Now this text tells us that we're going to know our loved ones in heaven. One young woman heard her preacher say that we wouldn't recognize our loved ones there. And she couldn't sleep that night. She rolled and tossed and finally, she nudged her husband, who was sleeping soundly, and waked him up. And she said, John, I've been so troubled, thinking about the sermon the preacher preached today. Well, what did he say? Asked the husband. Well, he said, we wouldn't recognize each other in heaven, and I love you so much, John, I wouldn't be happy in heaven if I didn't know you. And John turned over wearily, and with disgust, he said, oh, Mary, don't be foolish. Surely we're not going to be more ignorant in heaven than we are here on earth. And how true that is, friend. How could anybody ever think that we'd be so ignorant in heaven that we wouldn't even recognize our own family? When Jesus rose from the grave, he was recognized by Mary, remember? When she heard him speak, she knew his voice immediately. Two of his disciples failed to recognize him when he walked along with them on the road to Emmaus. But when he sat down to eat supper with them and offered thanks, they did recognize him immediately by his characteristic way of returning thanks. A few years ago, the numbers craze sort of struck our world, and during that time, one preacher told the people that in heaven he believed we were all going to have numbers. Now, of course, we have zip codes, you know, and other numbers to help identify and locate people. But friends, wouldn't you hate to think that heaven is going to be that impersonal? The Bible tells us that in heaven your seed and your name shall remain. In Isaiah 66:22. It also tells us that God is going to give us a new name that nobody else will know but us. Now, quite likely, that name will represent our experience or our character. If we're noted for kindness or love or zeal, our name will likely have something to do with those characteristics. Well, I'm happy to tell you today, friends, we're going to be real and we'll have names there. We're told we're going to see men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets. We're going to visit with them in heaven, sit down with them as Jesus described it. And one of the greatest joys of heaven will be to visit with great Bible characters like Paul and Moses and Daniel and Joseph and Job and, of course, many, many others. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place for those who've been physically afflicted in this life. In Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Oh, I can just imagine those who have been blind in this life drinking in the dazzling beauties of heaven. You know, there are 340,000 blind people in the United States alone. And I saw many, many score, yes, I guess hundreds of them over in India, many times just crawling around in the streets like animals. How many of those people, friends, will be restored completely in heaven and granted a place throughout all eternity in this great paradise that we're talking about today. And then think of those who've been unable to speak and have had to use their hands in sign language. Not long ago, I watched an entire audience of people who couldn't hear. And somebody was speaking to them, actually preaching to them in the sign language. How thrilling that will be for them to be able to speak and sing. And I'm sure their voices will ring out above all the rest when they sing the praises of God. And then those who've been crippled, they'll leap as a hart, the Bible says. Now, the hart can almost literally fly. What can jump so high and run so fast? I can imagine those who've been crippled running down the streets of gold and crying out to those they see, "Look, look, I can run. My legs have been made whole again." All this world has become a vast suffering house of sickness and disease and death. Wherever we go, we find it, friends. Almost every home has sickness. But God promises us that in heaven, the inhabitants shall not say, "I am sick," Isaiah 33:24. We'll have no need of hospitals or doctors. They'll be out of work entirely. We're mighty thankful for them today, but we won't have any need for them in heaven. There'll be no more insidious diseases like cancer, polio, heart trouble, arthritis. We'll not hear people complaining, "Oh, my head, my back, my legs, my arms." No, those people who do nothing but talk about their operations here will just have to find some other favorite subject. Just to think, friends, that we'll live on in the perfect bloom of health and vigor for all eternity, never growing old, never getting sick, and never concerned about death because it will never come. Yes, Christ's coming will end the flood of crime that has swept over this earth. In Isaiah 11:9, it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain. So the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." No, there'll be no hurting, no destruction, no more criminals, gangsters, no prison houses, insane asylums, no, not even a police force. There'll be no more waiting around a dark corner ready to strike you over the head or stab you in the back or shoot you with a gun or rob you of your possessions. There'll be no more dark, fearsome corners or alleys. We can even roam through the wilderness without fear. Of course, there won't be any wilderness as we know it here. It says the wilderness is going to blossom like a rose. And if you're a lover of good food, you'll have a real treat in store when you get to heaven. There'll be fruits in abundance, and they'll not be blighted by disease or bugs or worms. When you sink your teeth into a luscious peach, you need not fear that you'll encounter a worm that got there before you did. The grapes will be huge and luscious. Oh, yes, and the figs and the pomegranates and other delicious things. The Bible tells us the Lord will feed us with a hidden manna. Haven't you wondered just what that might be? It must be the food of angels. I can imagine that it's a very delightful dish indeed. All the foods of heaven will be delicious, but perhaps wouldn't really be enjoyed by those who've developed perverted appetites down here in this world. So, friends, we really ought to be learning to eat the things that the Bible tells us are good for us while we're still here waiting for Jesus to come. Now, in that heavenly paradise, there'll be no depression either. There'll be no need to worry about where the next meal is coming from. The Lord Jesus is going to provide everything for our needs. Sometimes people get depressed here, and often, you know, they need to get electric shock treatments to bring them back to reality again. Discouragements press upon them. Problems come in until they actually are not themselves. They even go out of their minds. There'll be no such as this in heaven. But somebody says, "Well, you've been talking about the city of God. What about the text in Matthew 5:5, which says, 'Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.' Doesn't the Bible say that we'll inherit this earth?" Oh, yes, friends, that's right. The Bible tells us that someday this beautiful city of God, the New Jerusalem, is going to come right down out of heaven and settle on this earth and become the capital of our world. Now, we're told in Revelation 21:2, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now notice that John said he saw the city coming down from God out of heaven. John also tells us that God's going to dwell among men. Yes, someday this beautiful city is going to come down to the earth, and God will rule the universe from this earth. And then it will be that the meek shall inherit the earth, just as Jesus prophesied that it would be. Well, the Bible also tells us that before the city becomes the capital of the earth, God's going to renovate this earth by fire to cleanse it from all disease, filth, and sin. In 2 Peter 3:10-12, I read, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Now, friends, notice that the earth is going to be cleansed and purified by fire. And reading on, Peter tells us in the next verses, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." 2 Peter 3:13 and 14. So after the earth has been cleansed by fire, there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Think of it. This earth that's fallen into disgrace and sin has been reclaimed now through the blood of Jesus and will someday be elevated to the highest position in the universe of God. The Lord himself is going to rule from the world and from his capital city, the New Jerusalem, and we'll be his servants and dwell in his presence. Well, after the wicked have been burned in this fire that has burned the earth, we'll have the esteemed privilege of watching God recreate this earth and make it into a beautiful place just like it was before sin ever entered. There'll be music such as we've never heard. We'll hear the angels sing, myriads of them, as far as the eyes can see, around the throne of God in perfect order. And when the strings of thousands of harps are struck, a melody will ring out like a mammoth pipe organ, I imagine. Thousands of trumpeters will blow their melodious tunes in harmony beyond anything we've ever known. And when the angel choir sings, "O celestial melodies of heaven," it'll make the mightiest Handel Messiah of this earth seem like a quartet, I'm sure, by comparison. Yes, we've attended great meetings and conventions in this world, but we've never attended any meeting like that one is going to be, friends. Perhaps the greatest thrill of all will be when God sings. Did you know that he'll sing, friends? Zephaniah 3:17, the prophet tells us that God is going to stand in all of his glory and magnificence and sing. Listen to these words. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Ah, don't you look forward to that, friends? That'll be the greatest of all, I think. Just imagine the pouring out of God's love in this melody that will be sung by God himself. Surely human ears have never heard anything like that, and like it will be. Well, friends, are you going to be ready for that great day when it comes? The coming of Jesus is very close at hand, and these things are about to be fulfilled that were spoken of by the prophets. Multitudes, of course, are still thinking about heaven as some dreamy, far-off mystical place, some make-believe isle of somewhere, but the Bible tells us it's real, and the people who inhabit that place will also be very real. They'll have real bodies, made like unto the body of Jesus after his resurrection, and they'll recognize each other. The Bible tells us about the occupation of the saints and many other things that we've not had time to talk about during this present series of broadcasts. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.